Well, Brother Kendrick and his family have been in evangelism 18 years, 12 of those on their own, be 19 this coming March. And you already heard this morning, if you were in Sunday school, their story and how God got them started. It's just a privilege for us to have them here today. They're going to sing a couple of songs. As soon as they're done, Brother Kendrick will preach to us. So have your Bible ready. And I know you get a Bible message this morning. Let's enjoy the time with them today. God bless.
I can see where this road goes. The shepherd is leading me to a place where I can grow. And though it seems to be a trying test, I have no doubt he knows what's best. It might be a place to perfect rest. This valley is for me.
This valley is for me.
For me. The waters have been made so sweet. A pleasant rest for my weary feet. This valley is for me. A far cry from the mountain scene. The grass here has been made so green.
My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt,
this valley is for me.
Standing here beside still waters, I know why I am here today. A place of restoration will strengthen me along the way. And through this valley I can feel His presence.
This valley is for me.
For me. The waters have been made so sweet. A pleasant rest for my weary feet. This valley is for me. A far cry from the mountain scene. The grass here has been made so green.
My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt,
this valley is for me. My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me.
As a child, my mom and dad taught me good from bad. They told me of my Savior and His love. They said I'd have to make my choice, that I should listen to God's voice. I'm so glad that I can look to them and say, I'll stay true to the Lord. Oh, I just cannot afford the awful price that sin would have me pay. I know the way of God is right, so I'll stay faithful in the fight. I'll trust in Christ, and this is what I'll say. I'll stay true to the Lord. I'll stay true to the Lord until my dying day.
I've heard Christians tell their story, and it seems they almost glory in their past and their sinful way of life.
It seems they're almost sad, and they miss the life they had. In their heart, you'd think they'd go back again.
But oh, please listen to this truth. Remember God while in your youth. Before those evil days will come, when you will have to say, Lord, I went the wrong way. Why not turn to Christ, take your stand and say, I'll stay true to the Lord. Oh, I just cannot afford the awful price that sin would have me pay. I know the way of God is right, so I'll stay faithful in the fight. I'll trust in Christ, and this is what I'll say. I'll stay true to the Lord, though I just cannot afford the awful price that sin would have me pay. I know the way of God is right, so I'll stay faithful in the fight. I'll trust in Christ, and this is what I'll say. I'll stay true to the Lord. I'll stay true to the Lord until my dying day. Until my dying day.
Amen. 1 John chapter number 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 4. Well, it's a privilege, a blessing to be here. We sure appreciate the invitation. Amen. Probably wasn't good for that mic. Amen. First John chapter number 4. And it's a breath of fresh air to be able to be in church like this, and don't ever change, amen. And we don't need all that mess out there in the world in the church. And look here, it's been running good like this for a long time. May as well just keep on doing the right thing, amen. A lot of people wanting to change. You go in some churches, you don't know if you're in a movie theater or if you're in church. And I enjoy coming to a place where it's about the Lord, amen. Really, I'm serious. This is a breath of fresh air for my family. We sure appreciate the blessing to be able to be here. And as far as I'm concerned, it's too fast. You know, we're in here and gone tomorrow. And man, if it was okay, I'd love to be able to just hang out, but there ain't nowhere to stay. And if we had a bus, you know, we'd probably be gypsies out here in the parking lot for a while. I'd be like, I ain't leaving. I'm staying for a while, but we sure appreciate it. It's been a blessing to be here. 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to try to move quickly. I have a lot to say in just a few minutes. Amen. 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible said, Beloved, so he's talking to Christians. Amen. Beloved, believe not every spirit. So he's talking to Christians. We ought to be listening, especially if you're somebody here this morning that's saved. And if you are here this morning, you're not saved. Amen. You can become one. In just a moment of time. Don't take long at all. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit. See, that's capital S. He said, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit, watch what it says now, that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Now watch what it says in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. That's those that are saved. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? Those spirits. Those wrong spirits. That Antichrist. He said, overcome them because greater is He that is in you. Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're saved. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Talking about the Antichrist, the evil spirit, Satan. All right? He is Antichrist, by the way. Verse 5, the Bible said, they are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. Where, it said in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, we ought to be able to tell the difference. Amen? We ought to be able to tell the difference in the right spirit and the wrong spirit. Amen? We ought to be able to tell the difference of what's holy, what's not holy. We ought to be able to tell the difference between those that are saved and those that are lost. There ought to be a difference there. The Bible said plainly, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know who we should be able to tell who is of truth and who is of error. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray you take the word of God now and help me, Lord, to preach it. Lord, and the message you've given me, Lord, I believe for this moment in time. And Father, I pray for the help of the Holy Ghost of God in preaching. And Father, with all my heart, Lord, I want to preach, Lord, with the right spirit. Lord God, and I want to be a help and a blessing, but at the same time, Lord, maybe strong preaching, but Bible preaching. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you speak to the hearts of your people, Lord, this world we live in today. God, it's so wicked. Lord, there's so much pulling our people away. And God, if there's one thing I believe we need across America, is Bible preaching, Lord, to fight against the strength of the world. And God, I ask for that this morning in help and the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at verse 4 again. The Bible said in verse number 4, it said, ye are of God, little children. He said, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I want to say to you, friend, that that word of, that little tiny word, see, that's why it's so important that we don't change the Bible. Amen? That little tiny word means something. That word of means this. It means issuing or proceeding from. In other words, proceeding from God. Now, the Bible said this. It said, ye are of God. In other words, that means this, friend. We proceeded from God. It also means, or produced by God. We could use the word that the Bible uses, born again. Amen? Now, can I say to you, that means that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Now, the Bible went on to say, ye are of God, little children. Now, let me say this to you. If we issued from Him, that's those that are saved, amen, and we proceeded from Him, then we should be consumed with Him. Amen. If I'm born of God, I mean, you got to realize this old spirit was dead on the inside of me, right? Because of the flesh. And whenever I got saved, the Holy Ghost moved on the inside of me and He revived that spirit. He brought it back from the death. Amen. He made it alive on the inside of me and He took us, amen, and He separated us from that flesh. There's a spirit on the inside of you, amen, that the Holy Spirit of God has revived, which is a holy spirit, which is just as clean as Jesus is. Amen. No matter what you do, that side of you, that part of you, cannot sin. But there's a flesh on the side of us that does sin. And God said this. He's saying, you are of God. You proceeded from Him. In other words, if He's on the inside of us, He's living in us, and He is, we should be consumed with Him. There should be no place in the Christian's heart for any spirit of Antichrist at all. Now, the Bible talks about that Antichrist here. It talks about that spirit, the wrong spirit. And I say to you, church, we are not to be of the world or consumed with anything of this world. Yet we should be of or consumed with God. If that word of right there, friends, means we issued from God or we proceeded from God or produced by God, that means we should be consumed with God. In other words, if I'm a Christian, my life should be consumed with Him. My heart should be consumed with Him. My daily activities should be consumed with Him. My decisions should be consumed with Him. My thoughts should be consumed with Him. My prayer life should be consumed with Him. Everything about us in our lives, church, should be consumed with God. And if that be the case, let me ask the question, why are there so many people in our churches today that are consumed with the world, which is a spirit of Antichrist? Verse 5, the Bible said they are of the world. Listen now, young people. Y'all listen. You're not doing wrong. I just want you to hear this. The Bible said ye are of the world. I'm sorry, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. In other words, they fit right in. Now that word of right there, are you listening? That's the same meaning right there of that word of when it's talking about the saved. In other words, people that are in the world, they proceeded from the world. They are produced by the world. They hear the world. They live like the world. They are just like the world. And here's why. It's because they came from the world, which is that spirit of Antichrist. In other words, let me say it this way. If an individual is not saved, Brother Luke, and he's a drunk, he cusses, he fights, he gets involved in ungodliness in the world, he don't care anything about Jesus, he lives like the world, it's perfectly normal. He's of the world. And the Bible plainly tells us that they are of the world, and the world hears them because they fit in. The Bible went on to say in John 8:44, it said, you're of your father the devil, and lust your father you'll do. And the Bible went on to say, verse 47 of John 8, it said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Let me say to you, friend, people that don't want to hear preaching, and people don't want to heed to the Bible and the Word of God, but God plainly says, ye are not, He said, of Me. You are of the world. You're not of God. Now, I like Bible preaching. Amen? Let me give you some Bible. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. The Bible said, in you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now, listen to what it says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, He's saying this. He's saying, you walk just like they used to walk. You lived, he said, you remember when you used to live that way? Remember whenever you walked in that spirit of Antichrist? He said, among whom also, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. We used to live that way, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and in the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I like this part right here in Ephesians 2. Listen, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. In other words, He quickened us. He made us alive again. Amen. Those that live of the gospel and those that live like a true Christian are consumed with God. You agree, right? Those that live like the world and live with sin in their life are consumed with the world, which is Antichrist. So you take a Christian, you shouldn't use the word Christian, you take an individual that's saved, and there are some. You take an individual that's saved. Are you hearing me? Amen. You take one that's saved, and they live like the world. Here's what the Bible says. He said, you're living like the spirit of Antichrist. We'll go on to say, the Bible said, you're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read it to you, verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of Me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now listen to what it says. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. Listen to what it says now. Who mind earthly things. Hey, that's serious. Y'all hearing me? You with me? The Bible plainly says that there's a lot of people that are walking the wrong way. And can I say to you, friend, today, in the day we live in today, in 2014, there is a slew of people, friend, in our churches across the country, from what I can see, and from traveling and seeing the churches and preacher, I'm sure you've seen it in your travels, that there's a slew of people, friend, that are not walking the way that God wants them to walk. The Bible said they are who mind earthly things. And there are people in our church today whose lives are consumed with earthly things instead of godly things. Would you say, now don't get mad at me, please. I just want to throw some things out. Would you say that worldly dress would be an earthly thing Would you say that maybe even the social networking and all of the stuff that takes place with that and the gossip and the prideful spirit of look at me would be earthly things? Would you say, friend, that maybe having all the things of the world in your home and pumping in certain things in your life and your home and your family would be earthly things? Would you say that, friend, if you have toys, I'm not against toys having something to do, but would you say that if somebody, friend, has those things and it pulls them away from God and the things of God, that would be earthly things? And we could go on and on and name a huge list, but we don't have time. But friend, study yourself. Ask yourself the question, am I consumed with God? Or am I consumed with earthly things? The individual that is consumed with the world is one whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and the proof is they are consumed with earthly things. The Bible said through desire, listen young people, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. It takes a desire in your heart, church member and Christian, to say, I am going to separate myself from the world. I'm going to separate myself from the things of the world, and I'm going to intermeddle with all wisdom. Many today are not consumed with God because they have no desire to be consumed with God. Their desire is not God. Their desires are set on the things of the world. The people that say that they are saved, yet they have the spirit of the world in their heart and life. Listen, church, I'm not trying to be rude, but hear me. That goes against everything in the Word of God that proves one is a Christian. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If I was to ask you the question, do you believe that we should live by the Bible? If I was to come to you and take the Word of God and say, do you believe we ought to live by that Bible right there? Probably most of you, if not all of you, would say, absolutely, preacher, we should live by that Bible. Y'all listen to me, Mama? If that be the case, why is there so many that are consumed with this world in our churches? Instead of being consumed with God. Why is it that the ones in the church that are the sold out, separated ones, thank God for them. Why is it that the ones that are the God-fearing Christian, why is it that they seem like the odd ducks in the church when they are supposed to look peculiar to the world, not to the people in the church? Illustration, you take a teenage girl or boy that is consumed with God, and all the other teenagers will treat them like the plague. You take an adult man or woman and the church is consumed with God, and many people in the church will just smile at them, be nice to them, but yet talk bad about them behind their back. You take a preacher that's consumed with God. I mean, he lives that clean, holy, separated life, and he's not going to back up on nothing. And there's some preachers out there, believe it or not, that will mock him and try to diminish him. The Bible said in Romans 1:16, it said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me say to you, church member, let me say to you, teenager, it matters not what others say about us. What matters is, are we consumed with God or are we consumed with that spirit of Antichrist, which is the world? And I want to say to every church member and every Christian today, we know. We know if we're consumed with God or not. You know what your desires are. You know what you watch. You know what you read. You know what you listen to. You know it personally right now. Every one of us know if we're consumed with God or consumed with that spirit of Antichrist. We all know. I'm going to give you two main points quickly and some underneath those, and we'll be done. Number one, to be consumed with God, I believe with all my heart, it means to be yielded to God. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, I'm going to read verse 11 through 19 to you. I believe with all my heart that you take a teenage boy, a teenage girl, take a mama, take a daddy, take a child. Anybody that's consumed with God, they're going to be yielded to God. Now don't lose me. Stay with me. The Bible said in verse number 11, chapter 6, Romans. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, well, that's a word that many don't want you to mention in church anymore. Well, we're going to mention it because the Bible says to. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither, watch what it says, yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace. Watch what it says. Two words here. God forbid. Let me just go ahead and nail it. This grace walk is wicked, out of hell, unbiblical, not right. You understand? You say, what's grace walk? That's a crowd out there that tells you, well, I'm saved under grace and I can live any way I want to live. They better read the Bible. The Bible said, God forbid. Amen? He said, know you not that he said, to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked, that ye were, watch what it says, Christian, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Amen? You got saved, repentance, amen. Being then made free from sin, ye have become the servant, you became the servants of righteousness. Watch what it says in verse 9. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, he said, yield your members servants to righteousness unto what? Holiness. Let me say to you, here's what the Bible said. The Bible said, just like you served the devil, just like you lived in the world, just like you lived a filthy, ungodly, sinful, reckless life, and you did all the things and whatever your flesh wanted to do, and man, you had strength and power to be able to run as hard as you could run for sin. He said, even so, just like you yielded yourself to that life, even so, now that you're saved, I want you to run as hard as you can for God. I want you to yield yourself to God. I want you to live as holy and as clean as you possibly can and fight, and serve God with as much strength as you serve the devil. In other words, you yield to God, friend. It's plain in the Word of God that those that are saved and have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ are to be dead unto sin and not to obey the lust of their flesh. God goes on and says this, church. He said that these members, our bodies should be used as instruments of righteousness. That means, amen, our mouth, our eyes, our feet, our fingers. The Bible talks about how they teach with their fingers. How many people today are using their fingers? Mamas and daddies and adults and kids, young people using their fingers to type all kinds of ungodliness on social networking. These members, friend, are God's. And he says, he says, we were the servants of sin, but now we should be dead to that spirit of Antichrist and alive unto God. Flee, free from sin, free from iniquity, and servants of righteousness. Hear me, church. We are saved. Born again, blood washed, servants of God. We should be consumed with Him, and when we're consumed with Him, we yield to God. We don't yield to our flesh anymore. Let me say quickly, when we yield to God, we yield to the holiness of God. Did you hear me? We yield to the holiness of God. Romans 5, quickly, verse 8 through 13, he said, but they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, if you're in the flesh, you're going to live like flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. Stay with me quickly, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you get that? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Why are you in the Spirit? Because you're saved now. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he said, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Watch what it says. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Hear me. There should be a great desire in every saved man and woman's heart today to be as holy as they possibly can be unto the Lord. Let me picture it this way. There's a man, he has the fleshly side of him, and that fleshly side of him wants to do everything that the Antichrist wants you to do. Everything that Antichrist, everything that the ungodly spirits, there's a fleshy side, that's what he wants to do. And then there's a side over here that's been quickened by the Spirit. It's a saved man, amen? It wants to do everything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. It wants to do everything that has to do with God. Now you hear me. The Bible says, hey, this is the way you used to live. He said, now this is the way you're supposed to live. No longer are you to yield to that Antichrist and that evil spirit. But today, since you are saved, we should yield to that Holy Spirit and be as holy as we possibly can be. Colossians 3, 1 through 6, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen to me, young people. Hear me now. Young adults, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify. That means kill. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. God's saying this, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you're one of the children of God, and you're involved in ungodliness and sin and fornication, lasciviousness and adultery and sorcery, we could go on and name uncleanness, the Bible says. He said, if you're involved in that, He said that the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Hear me, church. There is judgment coming to God's people in the church today because of the so much of the Antichrist spirit is on the people of God. It should not be. We should live as holy as we possibly can be, that the wrath of God come not upon us. Let me ask you a question. Who are you yielding to? Antichrist or Holy Spirit? I like the song that says, take time to be holy. He said, take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting and nothing is blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. Run not before Him, whatever be tied. In joy and sorrow still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Take time to be holy. Listen. Be calm in thy soul. He stalled in each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit of fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Can I say to you, church, when we yield to God, we yield to the holiness of God. Let me move quickly. I say when we yield to God, we yield to the direction of God. Let me ask you a question. As a Christian, as a saved man or woman in this church, young person, whoever you are, you're saved. Does God direct you? Are you one of those that says, God, I'm yours, and whatever you want me to do. The Bible said in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When one is consumed with God, then there's a desire in their heart to yield to the direction of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you led to read God's Word, or do you rarely read it? Are we led to tell others of Christ and be a soul winner, or are we guilty of never telling anybody about Jesus? Are we led to serve in the church of the living God, or have we done very little for God? Are we led to serve and help others, or are we guilty of thinking of ourselves? Boy, that's the American mentality today. Whatever they want, they got to run after them for themselves. Are we led to look for ways that we can serve the Lord, or are we consumed with that spirit of Antichrist? I like the song, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. It said, where'er I do and where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. I like the third verse. He said, Lord, I would clasp up thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. To be consumed with God is to yield to the direction of God, and our heart should be this. Wherever He takes me, whatever He wants me to do, however He wants to use me, I yield to Him because I am consumed with Him. It is a daily consecration. It is a daily leading. Every single day of our life should be yielded to the direction of God. Young people, hear me. I know you got dreams and plans of all the things you think you're supposed to do, and the world pulls you, and all your friends say, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to do this. When's the last time, young person, you stood up to somebody and said, hey, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do? Let me say to you, friend, listen to me. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Friend, can I say to you, when we yield to God, we yield to the holiness of God, we yield to the direction of God quickly, we yield to the service of God. Those that live according to the fleshly desires of the world and the allurements of the world are those that do not yield to or have a desire to serve the Lord. Let me give you a verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. This I say then, listen now, he said, walk in the Spirit. And he said, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, hear now, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. and the spirit against the flesh. In other words, this flesh over here is lusting against this spirit over here, and this spirit here is lusting against this flesh over here. And the Bible said these are contrary. You know what that means? That means they're fighting. He said they're contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. In other words, let's do it this way. The spirit has a great desire to serve the Lord. He says, I want to serve the Lord. I want to live for Jesus. I want to do what's right. And the flesh over here has a great desire to do things that are fleshly. The spirit says, I want to serve the Lord. I want to teach a class. The flesh says, no, it's too much work. The spirit says, I want to serve the Lord. I want to run a bus route. The flesh says, no, it'll take away your Saturdays and your Sundays. The spirit says, I want to serve the Lord and maybe preach. The flesh says, no, you won't have anything and it's too hard. The spirit says, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do something for God. And the flesh says, you can do something for God later. The spirit of God says, I want to serve the Lord. I want to work with Him. I want to be a soul winner. And the flesh says, I want to make money. I want to play. You understand? Constantly. Constantly there's a fight. Here's what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh wants nothing to do with the things of God. You know, I try to do it, you know, every morning. But when I get up to pray, let me say something to you. You know what my body does not want to do? Pray. My flesh absolutely despises getting on its knees, making it humbly get on its knees and spend time with it. Hates it. You know what it'd rather do? Go get a cup of coffee and go shoot something. It hates it. Well, here's what the Bible says. It says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Friend, there's war will be constant between your flesh and the spirit so that you will not do the things that you would. You ever hear somebody say this? They say, man, I'd like to serve the Lord. I'd like to get back in church. But they never do. You know why? Are you hearing me? Here's why. Very simple. They give their flesh what it wants because they're not consumed with God. They're consumed with their flesh. Let me move quickly. I just a few minutes. I'm going to try to hurry. Let me say to be consumed with God means to yield to God. Let me give you a second one. This is the last main point. To be consumed with God means to yield to God, but it also means to yearn. Yearn for God. You know, to yearn for something means to have an affection for, to desire strongly or persistently. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him. In other words, that I may be fully acquainted with His nature, talking about God, His character, His work. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hear me, church. To know Him and understand the love that the Son of God showed you and I. Think about it. To understand that He put off His holy garments to come and be born and live in this filthy place and then go through humiliation and agony and then the worst of all, church, He took our sins and the sins of the whole entire world and He had the guilt of sin put upon Him. Can I say to you, friend, and then He died and took your hell and my hell. What love. I don't understand it. What love He must have had for us, friend. I can't understand that kind of love. Therefore, because He did that for you and I, our hearts should be, I yearn for Him. I desire Him. And if one could understand that, if we could understand that God got up off His throne, took off His robe of righteousness, you understand? Took it off, laid it aside, came down to this earth and was born, and He died for you and lived and died for you. If we could understand that, friend, we would die to this flesh and that spirit of Antichrist and something on the inside of us, friend, would yearn for the blessed Savior. To be consumed with God, hear me quickly, means to yearn for His closeness. The song says this, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. I ask you the question, church, don't you yearn for Him? I ask you, saved person, the one that Jesus died for, He left heaven and He shed His blood, don't you yearn for His closeness? Don't you yearn for His peace? Isn't there something on the inside of you that cries out for the joy, to have that joy in your heart, that you're close to Him and pleasing Him with your life? Is there any here that would say, preacher, there's a void in my life. There's an empty feeling in my soul. Friend, that is the feeling in your heart and life of being far away from the blessed Savior. I ask you, don't you want Him? Don't you yearn for Him? Won't you come to Him? If you're saved, is there not something on the inside of you that says, I want to be close to God? Or is that weird? Is that strange? Spurgeon said, but as the flower is more lovely than the root, so is the experience of fellowship with the risen Savior more lovely than the doctrine itself. You may not be able to see Him with the eye, but you can read about Him in His Word. You may not be able to touch Him with your hand, but you can feel His touch in your life. You may not be able to see Him walking with you, but you can tell He's leading you when you're close to Him. Can I say the desire to be close to Christ is not a desire that comes from one that is lost? Nor is it desire from one that is carnal or full of sin. For it is obvious by the way that some live their life, they have no desire to be close to the blessed Lord. There is a desire, let me say you friend, this is a desire that only comes from one that enjoys a life of purity and cleanliness from sin. One with conviction and lives a life of separation from the spirit of Antichrist. I want you to picture yourself in Roman days. Drug off into captivity from your native home. They take you and strip you naked and beat you and brand you. Then they sell you into slavery with cruel treatment for years. Then the next thing you find yourself one day, stripped, standing there naked in front of Colosseum before thousands as they humiliate you and jeer you and waiting for some beast to come and devour you. The gate opens and some large beast of a lion comes out and you begin to shudder and quake with fear, knowing that the end is very near and it's going to be a very awful, barbaric end for your life. And then suddenly one jumps from the great crowd, a warrior with no fear. He goes and he slashes the beast, sending him crawling back for into his cage in fear. He has you clothed and then he sets you free. He protects you from the enemy. He brings you to a place and he pours in oil and washes your wounds. And then he sits you down at a table where servants will feed you and wait on you. And you would say, where is my deliverer? Where is the one that saved me? I want to know Him. Who is He? And then you find yourself provided for every day. You find yourself, you have food and you have clothing and you have money and you have blessings. You would say to those that were being a help to you, where is my deliverer? Where is my provider? Oh, that I might know Him. I want to get close to Him. And then you find out that He was beaten for you. He took your payment for you. But yet the blessings flow day after day and year after year. It would be only right for that individual to cry out from their heart, oh, that I might know Him. Where is He? I want to get close to Him. I yearn for His closeness. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for every one of us. Every one of us deserve, friend, with our be in hell with our back broke, firing like a sausage, friend. We don't deserve the blessings of God. And we're saved today, sitting in a wonderful church, serving a great God. Got a wonderful family and friends. There ought to be something on the inside of us that says, oh, I yearn for the closeness of Him. Let me say, to be consumed with God is to yearn for His closeness. And I'll give you these next two quickly. Just hit them and go. To be consumed with God means to yearn for His power. Where is the desire at in God's people to be filled with God? Preacher, I remember when I was young in the ministry. I remember 20 years ago when there was great movement, it seemed like, where people desire to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. You got men like Dr. Howes that preached on fresh oil and everybody wanted to hear it. And other men preaching on the Spirit of God and preaching on the power of God. Dr. Rice preaching on being the fullness of the Spirit of God. And preachers and people everywhere desired to be filled with the power of God. I don't hear that much no more. The Bible said, "You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you." Luke 12:24-49 said this. It said, "Behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The Bible is obvious, according to Scripture, that we can do nothing without the power of the Spirit of God. Now hear me. Hear me. Listen. He said, Romans 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." That means this. That means that Sunday school class ain't going to make it without His power. The church ain't going to make it without His power. That bus ministry you're trying to run ain't going to make it without His power. That youth ministry ain't going to make it without His power. You understand? Listen to me. To be consumed with God means to yearn for His power. Why are there so many today that care nothing about the power of God? When's the last time you've seen people at the old-fashioned altar, teenagers, mamas and daddies, begging God for the power of God on their life? How many are guilty? How many today are guilty of desiring the spirit of Antichrist more than they are His power? Many are more interested in the spirit of Antichrist's dress styles than they are His power. They're more interested in the spirit of Antichrist's social network than they are His power. They're more interested in the spirit of Antichrist's multimedia than they are His power. Many today in our churches are more interested in that spirit of Antichrist's music than the Lord's power. They're more interested in that spirit of Antichrist's filthy pictures and speech than they are His power. They're more interested in that spirit of Antichrist's loose, lazy, lustful living than they are God's power. Many are more interested in the spirit of Antichrist's pleasure life than they are the Lord's power. How many in God's church are more interested in the spirit of Antichrist's way of living than they are the power of the Holy Ghost? Where is the saved individual that is consumed with God, produced by God, came from God, and they stand there and they say, "Oh God, I need the touch of God on my life"? Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be rude or mean. But if an individual has sin in their life, and they're consumed with that spirit of Antichrist, you would agree with me, preacher, to say, there's no way that you can desire the touch of God on your life if you're consumed with the spirit of Antichrist. No way. You say, "Preacher, why are you so strong on it?" Because our churches are going to the world. And there's so many people in our churches today that are consumed with that spirit of Antichrist. I want you to think this morning. Is there not something that burns and yearns in your heart to be consumed with God? I don't have time to preach the next one. I'll just mention it. To be consumed with God means to yearn for His coming. Many of us are not looking for the coming of the Lord. But let me say this to you. To be consumed with God means to yield to God and to yearn for God, I believe. I believe every one of us in our churches across America should search our hearts, should search our lives, seriously. I'm not talking about Brother Luke coming to church and, you know, hearing some good music, hearing the preacher preach a great message like the preacher you got, Brother Angel, Pastor Angel, come up here and preach a great message. We just go home, have our dinner. Man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm talking about, friend, we're right now in this place. We take time. We ask ourselves, am I consumed with God? Or am I consumed with that spirit of Antichrist? I want to say something. Please don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to be rude or mean. I'm done. But listen, many people today are more consumed. I don't have it. I got a phone in my coat. Many people today are more consumed with their phone and their tablet or their iPad and their social network. They are more consumed with their Facebook than that book. Does it not bother us that so many people in our churches, that the first thing they do when they get up in the morning before they even roll out of bed is they click on their phone or their tablet to look and see if somebody liked whatever they said, and they never pick that up? They're consumed with the world's music and never seen God's music. They're consumed with looking good. How many times have we heard it? Girls say, "I want to look frumpy." No, what they're saying is they want to be accepted by the world. Are we consumed with the God of heaven, or are we consumed with that spirit of Antichrist? Every one of us knows. I promise you, when Jesus comes, you'll wish that you were consumed with God. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, I love you. Lord, no doubt much more could be said, but Father, I don't want to mess my time up. God, I pray for the hearts of your people, that God, there'd be a great desire in God's people to want God. And Father, I don't even know how to say it sometimes, Lord, but Father, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would do the work that only you can do. But we can't make people want you. Lord, I wish we could have a revival in our churches across America of people that would say, I'd rather have God than this or this or this. Lord, whatever the list may be. Father, may your people desire you and be consumed with you. Oh, Spirit of God, move in the hearts of your people, I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In the name of Jesus, I do pray and ask that God, you please, would do this work. Maybe you're here this morning, no one looking around. And just for a moment, you say, Preacher, you know what? I'm not even saved. How can I be consumed with God? I don't even understand it. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. No one looking around. Anybody slip their hand up quickly and say, pray for me, Preacher. I need prayer. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? Preacher, pray for me. If I died, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand right up. Let me see it. Put it back down. We'll pray for you. Anybody like that, God? Preacher, pray for me. Sis, if you begin to play, I'd appreciate it. Church, let's use these altars if God spoke to your heart. Would you come this morning? Only you know your heart better. Nobody knows it better than you and God. Would you come? Don't take the message and throw it out. Don't leave here and go jump in your car and let the world consume you again. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Preacher.